God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton as we continue in the study of the book of Daniel. The encouraging word. Well, today we covered a lot of ground and loved the opportunity to kind of understand more about who Abraham was, how he was obedient to God, and in particular walked with God, and ultimately wanted a son because God had made a promise to him. You know, the Bible is filled with promises that are not just made to Abraham, but made to you and me about how he will sustain us, about how he will provide for us, and how he will never, ever leave you. I pray that you would know that truth. If you'd like to be encouraged in it, know that as we start our broadcast, love to pray with you and for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. The
If you've ever been into a place where they make pottery, and my wife loves to do that, you're going to notice this very quickly. First of all, there's the potter, the master. He's the one who sits there and does the work and who shapes everything into the form that it needs to be. Then there's the wheel, or the means by which the potter's made. And then thirdly, there's the matter, which is the actual clay. The Bible says that God is the master potter of our lives, and he is putting us through the wheel of life. We are the clay, and we are being shaped into the likeness that God would have us to be. Now, if you've ever turned a pot on a potter's wheel, you're going to notice I did it one time, only once. And folks, I hate to tell you, but I put all that clay on that wheel and began to spin, and it was just a big old blob when it started out. And you know, I just thought I had the most delicate twinkle-tink fingers in the world. I was wrong. I tell you, I got that thing, I sat there. It's the greatest feeling in the world, by the way. I mean, when that clay starts to ooze through your fingers, it's like getting a massage in your hands. And you sit down, and boy, that thing starts to spin. And you just start out with this big blob. And as it spins, you begin to push in, and little bits of clay begin to shoot out and ooze through your fingers. And finally, you get it into some kind of shape, and then you begin to shape the bottom of the clay pot, and then you bring in the middle side, and then you want to bring it out on that side. And when you get it into the hands of a master potter like myself, what happened was when I got the big bottom part all right, that was no problem. But as soon as I started to do this, the whole top went flying off and hit me in the face. Bible says that God takes us, the matter, the clay. He's the master potter, and he puts us on the wheel of life, and he begins to shape us. And he takes us through the experience of life. We're on a spinning wheel, if you please. And God, the master potter, is in the process of shaping us to become a beautiful instrument. These three men had undergone so many of these tests on the potter's wheel. Chapter 1 and verse 3, they had gone through the wheel, or the test of separation. Just remind yourself how these men had been taken away from their natural habitation. Now, I'm going to be asking our young people and making quite a lot of statements here tonight, especially to our graduating seniors. You're going to go through the test of separation. You're going to graduate in May. You're going to walk. You're going to get your cap and gown and your certificates. And come August, many of you are going to get in a motor car or an airplane, and you're going to go off to college, whether it be just a few miles or whether it be many miles. And I'm going to guarantee you something. God is going to put you through the test of separation. Some of you have made wonderful stands for Jesus Christ. We want to see you this time next year, what you look like. We want to see your faithfulness and love for the Lord, and we want to see you serving the Lord this time next year and the year after. Have you noticed how true it is sometimes when people go through the test of separation that the top flies off and hits them in the face? Something's wrong. Well, these men went through the test of selection. Go back into chapter 1 and verse 3 following. They were selected. They were a cut above. You know, I really believe that these were the original jocks. These were the young men and the young ladies who had risen above. These were the ones who were superior in some way or another. They had been handpicked and selected. They had been heaped upon with honors. Is there anything more wonderful in this world than encountering a young person who has excelled, valedictorian at school, and has played on ball teams and leadership positions in the youth group and has all these accolades and honors, and yet they haven't been changed one bit. They are as solid as a rock. Our youth group's filled with young people like that. I'm proud of them. We've got men and women in our church, so many who have accomplished, and God has blessed you and God has poured out His Spirit upon you. But you haven't changed. It's as though you've been selected. For some reason, you've been picked out. You've been separated and selected. You've been put apart. You're gifted. And yet you haven't changed. Hasn't fazed you. You're just the same precious person. You're no different. There was the test of superiority in chapter 2 and verse 49. Not only were they tested and separated and selected, but they became superior. They were put in charge of everything. Nebuchadnezzar came along to these three men who came from a foreign land, and they made them in charge of the provinces of Babylon, but they never changed. There was the test of success. According to Josephus and some of the other scribes of those days, people who became prime ministers and governors of the provinces of Babylon became multi-millionaires overnight. One of the things that I love to watch are things like the NBA draft and the NFL draft. And have you ever watched these college kids who play so well? They play well in college and then they get drafted and they get all this money, and how some of them just change and some of them just don't change. One of the saddest things that you can see in the church is when a man or a woman in the church comes from nowhere and they are Christian people, they're in the church and God blesses them. Just God chooses to bless them financially. In business, God blesses them. And then all of a sudden, one day, they just decide they're no longer going to do it God's way. So they pack their bags and they begin to do it other places. So they're not governed by the same rules. They begin to develop a disdain for the authority and the discipline of the church. They give with strings attached. All of a sudden, their frame of reference changes. You see, these were tests that these men went through, but they never changed. They stayed the same. There was the test of temptation. Chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food. Young people, I can guarantee you, because I've been there, most of us have been there, when you get to the college campuses, you're going to go through the test of temptation. I promise you, it's not something that may happen, it's going to happen. It happens to you already. It doesn't wait until you get to college, but especially when you are in the test of separation, when you're no longer coming home to your father's house, when you no longer have the youth group around you, when you no longer have functions to go to, where you no longer have the discipline of the church, and you're out there on that campus and it's Friday night, And they say, come on, man. Come on. Come on. You're going to go through the test of temptation. You're going to go through the test of training.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment. And when we see those deep valleys and those high mountaintops that sometimes come to our lives, whether it be the losing of a job or that blessing of financial blessing, the consistency of God, the fact that God never changes, is what we wrap our heads and our hearts around. You know, if we begin, especially for us as men, maybe for you as women as well, if we begin to define ourselves by what we do, about being that Mimi or being that G-Daddy like I am, or being that minister of media, you know, that's not who we are, that's what we do. Who we are children of God, ready to listen to God with anticipation, saying, Abba, Father, what can I do today to be more like you and to be more fulfilling of my purpose in life? If God has stirred your heart in this broadcast, would you let us pray with you and for you? Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we would love to connect with you. Ready to go keyboard to keyboard? You can do it online at tewonline.org. That's T-E-W for The Encouraging Word, online.org. Now let's dive back into today's message, The Conversion of the King. Our conclusion of this message with Dr. Don Wilton is next.
Chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says that these men were taken and given the very best. They were trained at the highest level. They went to the ultimate university. They were taken and immersed in the ultimate books of knowledge of the day. They were given PhDs and master's degrees and MSCs and everything else in between. These men were taken through the test of knowledge. Now, folks, here's what's going to happen to you. You guys and girls who are going off to college, you're going to go through the test of knowledge. You're going to suddenly be confronted by all the secular education. Historical fact. You're going to be confronted by theoretical data. You're going to be given a wealth of information. You're going to be presented with professors who are skeptics and those who are great spiritual leaders. You're going to be subject to every walk of life. You're going to go through the test of training. One of two things is going to happen to you. You're either going to come out on the other side and say, we have no reason to defend ourselves, for we know that our God is able to deliver us, and even if He doesn't, it's not going to make us succumb. Or you're going to succumb, and just because the King stands before you, you're going to bow down and worship the graven image. These men went through unsurpassed tests. Perhaps the most significant of all was the test of time. Some 20 to 25 years had gone by the time they came to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19. They had stood tall. They didn't change their minds. They didn't come to church one Sunday morning and then for the next 6 weeks, God didn't smell them for dust. Their faithfulness was absolute. It was set in concrete. It was beyond debate, not because of the church, not because of the preacher, but because of the God whom they served. They had their priorities in place. It was the test of time. It's a wonderful thing to see that. You see, young people, what happens to you and me is that time will reveal your and my true character. Time will provide the evidence of the genuineness of your leadership. Time gives the stamp of approval to who you are, not on the outside, but on the inside. Time is what God gives us in order for us to prove to God that we are worthy of being used by God. That's the test of time. Some of you are about to go through that. You may be leaving town for 2 months, for 6 months. You may be going overseas. You may be going down the road, but you're going to go through these tests, the test of separation and selection and superiority and success and temptation and training and time, and on the list goes. Think about ourselves, the test of our childhood. You see, when we are born, we are like these little lumps of clay, aren't we, somewhat? Pretty cute little lumps of clay. I'm not so sure about that. I can never quite get hold of it when babies are first born. It's amazing. Now, you don't tell a grandmother that or a mother, because every baby that's born, the moment they're born, I mean, they'll tell you how cute they are, folks. When my two boys were born, they were ugly. I'm just telling you that right now. First time I saw Robbie, I wanted to put him back. So, Lord, I came all the way to America and you've done this to me? You know, we're just like lumps of clay, aren't we? And God begins that wonderful journey of life. It's just kind of one test after another. The test of childhood and the test of our teen years, the test of our college days, the test of our business, the test of our marriages, the test of family, parenting, caring, the test of hospitality, the test of our generosity, the test of our faithfulness, the test of our discipleship. Wonderful tests. You know, every moment of every day, God's putting us to the test, isn't He? You know what He's looking for? He's looking for you and me to stand up and say, even within our own fear and trepidation, Lord, I don't need to defend you because I know that you will save me. But even if you do not, I'm not going to change. You see, folks, God takes all of us and He puts us through these tests. And when He looks at us, He says to us, I want to see what you're made of when all else fails. I want to see what you're made of when you're actually thrown into the fiery furnace of life. These men passed that test, and we would have thought, well, that's it. That settled it. And even though we don't understand it, it's at this point that both of them, all three of them, are sentenced to death. They are sentenced to death. Can you imagine that? I wonder if we were prepared to be sentenced to death. You know that all around the world today, there are people living in fear of their lives. When I was in China, one of the most staggering things I heard was on a bus in the northern provinces of China. It was so crowded, and we were in an area where they weren't allowed to talk about the gospel or mention the gospel or anything to do with it. And besides that, we couldn't speak the language, so it wouldn't have helped anyway. And as we were going down this hill in a bus that seated about 30 people, there must have been at least 80 in there. They were hanging on the roof, out the windows. I heard somebody whistling. And I looked around and I waited and I heard someone whistling a song about the amazing grace of God. And when we got to the end of our journey, the person who was taking care of us found a little old man, and we pulled him over into a little sidewalk in some bamboo trees and shrubs. And this little old man told us his story. How that he had just been set free from a prison camp where he had been for 18 years. And he was on his way back to find out if he had a home somewhere. And he said in the prison camp, he said they had huge toilets or latrines. And the latrines in these prison camps, which were only for Christians, They were big holes in the ground, huge holes that could fit like 20 men at a time. And as horrible as it sounds to talk about it, after 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years had gone by with men in these camps, when they needed to go to the toilet and the restroom, all they did was they would climb into this pit and stand there and do whatever they had to do. The stench, the flies, the disease was unbelievable. And this old man in China told me and the other two that were with me that they decided that the only place that they could worship God without interference from the prison guards was to volunteer to clean out those latrines every day. And for 18 years, this old man was in charge of the detail. And so every day, he would go and handpick 2 or 3 prisoners. And they would go and get into those latrines to scrape the walls and do whatever they could. And in those latrines, they would sing songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And Rock of Ages cleft for me. Let me hide my face in Thee. And he said it was in the pits of those latrines that they knew none of the Chinese communist gods would dare come. And so it was, they began to use it as an evangelistic tool. And so he and his group of witnesses would single out prisoners who didn't know Jesus Christ. You talk about a captive audience, they'd put them in that latrine. And they would witness all day choking with the fumes of this filthy place. And now 18 years later, this old man, beaten, wounded, and torn, looked at us with wrinkled eyes, and his Chinese dialect said through our interpreter, "Sirs, I want you to know that we believe that at any moment our God could deliver us. But even if he did not, we were never prepared to worship the gods of Baal." These men were sentenced to death. What happened? There was the anger of Nebuchadnezzar. He became more angry. There was the heat of the fire. It became more intense. There was the strength of the soldiers. The Bible tells us here in verse 20, not only did they multiply and intensify the heat, not only did Nebuchadnezzar become more angry, but he called out stronger and more capable men. But what happened? The silence of the men became overwhelming. They had grace in death, but they also had grace in their deliverance. Why? Because if God chose to deliver them, he would. And if he didn't, it wouldn't make any difference anyway. He was still God. But notice the amazement of the king. Notice the completeness of their deliverance as they stepped out from that fire with not even the smell of fire upon their bodies. And notice the impact of their commitment to Christ. You see, beloved friends, God is working amongst us all the time. He's taking us through the fiery furnaces of life. He's making us and molding us. He's allowing setbacks to happen. He allows us sometimes to lose our jobs, sometimes to make a lot of money, sometimes to get a new motor car, sometimes to break down on the interstate with a flat tire, sometimes to lose our voices, sometimes to have a beautiful family, sometimes to miscarry, sometimes to be up and sometimes to be down. But you know something? God never changes. He's always there. When all else fails, our God is an awesome God. Be strengthened in your heart Be of good courage. Stand tall. Be resolute. Get ready for service. Be prepared to stand up for Jesus Christ. God will bless you. God will bless us all.
The pastor's direct, didn't he? Do it today. What's holding you back? You've perhaps been listening to this radio broadcast or this podcast or listening to us online for quite some time, and you begin to understand in your head what it is to know about the book of Daniel, to know about the conversion of the king and what went on in his life. But perhaps more importantly, you're realizing this is not just great teaching from a great book. This is a love letter to you, and you are being pursued by the God of the universe. He's using even this broadcast. He's using our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, to let you know that he loves you, he has a plan for your life, and he's ready to take you to a new place, a new beginning. Boy, we would love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. And if you've got questions about what it is to give your heart to Jesus, let's start with these moments with our pastor next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey, someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us, someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world.
Our time's gone for today, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Dr. Wilton's diving back into God's Word about the sovereignty of God and the sins of a son. Oh, it's an exciting message, and that's on the way at this same time tomorrow. Between now and then, let's stay connected on our website at tewonline.org or this phone number, 866-899-9673.